All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Hi. I'm your host, Imani Brown. I'm also here with Leon.
Hello.
It's a duo.
It's been a while, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, it's been a minute. We're doing a duo this time. Not too bad.
Back to usual.
It's been a minute. We've been trying to record episodes a lot lately and just failing at that miserably.
Yeah. attention spans, distractions.
Yeah.
Other things.
A lot of things. Sometimes just being tired. It's just flat out
that
tired.
That too, yes.
But we're here now, so let's get into it. What have you been up to, my guy? What have you been playing? What have you been reading? What have you been doing?
Oh, my God. Well, a decent amount of things, actually. For me, I've actually put myself back into school.
Okay, bet. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you going for?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it's culinary.
No, actually. It's cybersecurity.
Bet. Good to know it.
So, that is the plan. I'm going for the two-year degree to get my associates, and going to go from there.
Glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm only doing two classes, and because I'm paying out of pocket. So,
that's fair.
Hopefully, by...
Well, I mean, you know, you have your Pell Grant that you can use. In the U.S., there's a grant specifically for certain people. You can use your Pell Grant. I don't know if you've used it. You've used all of it already.
No, I don't. I'm pretty sure I haven't. But the original thing I had was using your Pell Grant. With where I went to, I had financial aid, but because of my own doings and blowing my GPA, I kind of screwed myself over, and that's why I wasn't in school anymore. But, you know, I'm going to try to put myself back up, bring that up and everything. So,
yeah, I mean,
that's the plan.
I'll be able to.
I know I can. It's just, you know, applying myself, not getting distracted and everything. And I'm so far intrigued with what I'm looking at right now. So, you know, the more interest, the better.
Good to know.
Yep.
Glad to hear it, though. Self-improvement all around. Good job,
yeah.
My guy.
Yeah. Get the right. Fuck out what I'm doing.
Alright, so what else have you got going on?
Gaming-wise, honest to God, because of Davon, a lot of Marvel Rivals. And just myself, too.
Me and him play that a lot. I mean, I'm probably never going to stop playing it, but I, unlike him, I take breaks. I can relax on something.
Yeah. It's been recent that I've been playing a lot, simply due to the fact that... the missions and
the
events and everything I've been trying to get done.
True.
So now that I've gotten those that I can like back off and be like, all right, fucking do.
Did you get
else.
Everything? Because I just want to point out, you know that new battle pass dropped, right? With the Phoenix skin for your boy Iron Fist.
I got everything for the summer one and
the new
with
one.
The newest one with Iron Fist. No, not the summer one. The previous one. I got that one done. The one with Iron Fist, I only got up to the Iron Fist thing, and I stopped.
The Venom one, the Awakening one, the new one, you got the Iron Fist thing. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the chicken Venom.
With chicken Venom. I want that skin because it looks cool, but it also looks stupid at the same time. It's so weird.
It looks stupid as fuck, in my opinion.
It looks so... It's cool, but it looks dumb.
No, the Iron Fist skin, it looks cool. I hate the fact that the grippers are out. But
I mean, he's a martial artist. Who cares?
I know who cares, but I'm just like, Miyazaki. But another thing that I'm also, like, curious about is the fact that, the outfit is so tight on him, on his ass, for some goddamn reason.
Yeah, for, like, the girls.
I understand, but out of all
the gay men, like, whoever wants to see,
out of all the Phoenix foreskins, his is just more prominent for some reason. It's like, what the fuck?
Are you sure? Because I've looked at Wolverine's too, and that dude is low-key wearing a thong.
Fairly. I looked at, there's his, Namor's. I'm like, okay, Wolverine's pretty there, but I don't know. It's just how it is, and maybe because of the email, it just kind of pushed. It shows more.
But he's caked up. Everyone in the game is caked up.
Oh, no, most definitely. And then his MVP, which is the icing on the cake, is just,
sick as
chef's
hell.
Kiss.
It's so fucking cool, bro. It's so cool. It made me go, like, man, do I want to play Iron Fist? Do I want to try playing Iron Fist?
And I'm pretty sure you saw the MVP one time, because of the last time I was on Rumble Rivals and Davon was streaming, I got the MVP, fortunately enough.
No, I probably wasn't paying attention.
I could have sworn you did, because you were like, oh, is that the new thing? I'm like, yeah.
Maybe I did.
But either way, it's cool. It's fantastic. I love it. Because
all I saw was the last bit of it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's sick. That last bit is cool. Oh, no, yeah. Nice fuck. But seeing the full thing is really nice. I didn't see the full thing the first time.
People have thrown in Yusei Run over that. With All Might saying plus Ultra stuff.
Plus Ultra,
like, go beyond. Plus,
man punches so hard it turns into a manga for a second, bro.
yeah, that impact frame is like shit.
Cool as fuck.
What is that? I've been trying out new characters and everything. I tried out now Mantis. I've tried out Luna. I've tried out.
Glad that you're trying new characters.
Yeah.
Been stuck on Iron Fist for the longest.
No, even beforehand with just Iron Fist, I had Cap in my belt.
You did play a little bit of Cap.
And Adam.
You should stop playing
Adam. And recently was Sue. Miss Sent.
Give it up on Adam, bro. Adam Warlock just be getting hit with nothing, bro. Adam Warlock gets nothing, bro. He gets nothing.
No,
he just has to suffer.
He's gotten there better with this new recent.
There are times where other people are broken and they'll turn around and go, like, you know what? Nerf Adam's mobility. Fuck him up again. And everybody's just like, what?
Well, like, he got him off and everything with his rapid fire. Fortunately, that rapid fire can now, if you hit enough shots, you can reduce the cooldown on your healing. And then his ult itself gives shield. So you don't die immediately if you get ulted, unless it's Phoenix, then you get rid of the shield completely.
Yeah, but you should probably do a soul bond anyway. I did notice that you get the shield, though. It's nice.
I know, yeah. Soul bond, it's like the best thing possible. Though, you don't have enough people, your soul bond is useless.
Nah. Heal everybody up. Give them a nice little...
You try. You do your best. You gotta make sure you're accurate, which sucks because my accuracy is terrible. I'm practicing. Still kind of bad.
I mean, hey, man. They have aim trainers. You can always do those.
That's true.
It helps. I probably need to mess around with some of those too.
Been going into the practice range and testing out some things. So we'll see. We'll see. But aside from that, I've finally got myself back into 14. I've just been off of it, doing other things.
Isn't the whole deal with 14 is that you could totally just leave it alone for a while?
No, I know. But, you know, there's... Because of how 14 is, more content's been added and everything, and I would like to be current and get the things I want to get to, so...
Sure.
That takes time and everything. Because, right now, the newest patch came up, was it like 6 or 7.0? 7.3? Something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's the cap of the current arc that's going on to finish it off, apparently. I don't know what happened because I haven't started it yet. I've been doing other things because I've been behind. So, finishing that up. As I said, Wilds has been a thing. Took care of Uthduna, kicked his ass. You need to kick his ass, Samani. He would be perfect for you because of his legs gives quick sheath, and quick sheath is like perfection. Oh, is it actually pretty good for bow? I forget.
I don't know. Let me tell you. I haven't played that much Wilds. I could see how it would be, though. Mm-hmm. But I think the way bow works in this one, you don't really have to put it away too much because of your the dodges and stuff that you could just do.
That's true. Unless you're going for more of a quick draw build, then you know you can deal with that instead.
There's not really a need to go for a quick draw build with a bow.
Some people do. Some people do want to go quick draw, especially if they just do Dragon Piercers.
True. I mean, I guess, yeah. They just do Dragon Piercer stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then the new 9-star difficulties as well. Those have been pretty frustrating to deal with.
Sure. They're 9-star difficulties.
Yeah. The main frustration, though, comes from playing online with other people, because they keep fucking dying.
That's weird, because I usually assume that you just do it solo, because that's what you
do. I do, but the fact that I haven't found any good, like, drop rates or amount of drops from the monsters itself, it's like, I kind of want to see what I can get with, you know, SOSs and such, or lobbies and everything, and it's not fun.
Maybe you should tell the boys. They'd be down.
Aaron keeps crashing. Probably could do with Pele. Probably could do the Hobby. Well, Hobby. But, you know.
Yeah, Hobby and Squishy wouldn't do
pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't come to mind. I don't know why. Subtle Helms are like the easier thing to do. And fortunately enough, they did buff my blade, the longsword and everything.
Yeah, so. It did get a nice little. I forgot about the patch note that came out for it.
Yeah, we have less delay on the quick sheath, which, you know, God, it's fucked me over so many times I didn't realize it.
Like, it's going so much better now.
I'm not untouchable, but
it's just going moments, better. Like, you just avoid certain situations where you couldn't
I would be before. Like, why the fuck did this hit me? I pressed the button. It's like, ah, oh, okay, there it goes.
Much better.
Sir Heal Steve. Kept fucking me over completely because of just how quick he is and everything. Now, he's not as bad. He still hurts, but he's not as bad.
I mean, of course, he still hurts. He's just not hitting you as much. So,
yeah.
Fight's easier because you're not getting punished for something that you're like, man, why? Why does that hurt? Why does he always get me? I should be safe. All the other games told me I'd be fine.
Exactly. So I've been doing that. I think I'm up for the 9-star quest. I think I've mostly been trying to hunt Sergios, Arkvel, and Raydal. Those are the three that I'm like most comfortable with in fighting. The Gaiacris and Mitsune, I haven't really touched in their 9-star form, so I don't know how much they hurt. So, Gore is a bitch and a half, so, eh. And, I don't think I fought the octopus yet. No, I haven't. I fought in Jindahad, though. He's also a pain in the ass. Multiple carts by other people. Myself included, but still multiple cards.
I was about to say, it's always other people's fault, or is it just everyone?
Oh, no. I do get clipped. I do get caught slacking. Like, with even with Sergios, if I don't time well and I get caught lacking in my, like, dodging or whatever, he could still mollywop me very easily. It's disgusting. But in general, they hurt like hell. I think at half, not even half, 75% of your health, if you're right there, you have a chance of just dying in general. You can just get destroyed. So bring your divine blessings or bring whatever food that helps reduce damage. Those are godsends that can proc off.
Believe it.
But I got some good decorations off of that. I actually got a... Divine Blessing 3 and Razor Sharp 3 8-star decoration. Talisman. They're all one slot, sadly enough, but it's better than it frees up a slot for my weapon now. So now I can just bring more attack or something else. So it's pretty good. Okay. It's pretty good. What else? I think the rest is just kind of same old. Neo 2, playing that. Got my final weapon off of that. Still need to beat Underworld. It's going to take me a while. There's like 100 floors plus, I think. So, Master Duel. There was something that we played. What was it?
That we played?
I can't remember now.
Was it Peak? Did you play Peak? I mean, we've been playing
Peak. We did play Peak together, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, then Peak.
we played Peak. That was pretty fun. It was fairly mid. It wasn't Peak.
It was pretty Peak.
It was fun. It was
chill time.
A lot of shenanigans. I got lost a lot. Aaron yelled in my ear multiple times.
How so? Like, you fell? Or...
Oh, no, it was just because I was getting lost. I couldn't see the smoke, and he was like, it's right there! You were there for the... I'm pretty sure you were there for that.
Oh, did you put the... Because the best way to play that game is to be in the voice chat. So, were you in the voice chat or just listening to
him? Oh, no, I was. I was in the voice chat, and I was in the Discord chat as well. And we were pretty sure we were live during this.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah.
Shenanigans happen.
The stream one.
And then with the stream with Deathworm.
Heartworm. Yeah, we've been playing Heartworm. Heartworm's still fun. Heartworm's a fun time. We're still gonna continue that theme, one though. Actually.
We do need you, thing. Yes, but that spider theme was fucking bop. I loved it.
Oh, like the song for I didn't even pay attention to it. I was too busy paying attention
to it.
It
was just really active. It was piano.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. Switch it up. You'll probably like it.
I have to go back and listen to it.
You were focused. You're like, I need to fucking kill the spider.
You know, I had to lock in, bro. This thing had
your arachnophobia kicked in on that one. That's it for early gaming wise. I'm pretty sure there hasn't been anything else that I can really say note about. Yeah, no. Reading wise, it's just been kind of the same old. Unordinary came back actually, so I'm enjoying that. Enjoying the read. If you don't know, Unordinary is about this man named John. He's a high schooler and he's in this school of powerful individuals because everyone has powers in the world. Some of it's classed as high rank, mid rank, so on and so forth. And he's the bottom of the barrel, a crippled. Shitty ass person. He does his best to survive in the school. So, pretty nice concept. It gets fairly dark in some points, and
it's a webtoon. If I'm not mistaken,
it is webtoon. Yes,
just so you can find it on some place.
Mm-hmm. And him and Serafina are the best two. No one can change my mind.
They're the best. It is over. I don't care.
Yes. They are fantastic. They bounce off each other so well.
Webtoons. I need to catch up on my webtoon reading.
There's a lot I need to catch up to.
I wanted to check some new ones, but I haven't been reading too much.
Yeah.
I've been reading, but I just haven't been reading, like, you know, webtoons too much.
Yeah.
Behind on my manga as well. There was something I was reading recently, but I couldn't remember what it was. But continue.
Mm-hmm. Aside from that... what's the more highlight right now? I think it was like the Stellar Swordmaster. Yep, so the Stellar Swordmaster has been fantastic. Talked about this one before, but it's just been a great fantasy webtoon just to read. Mm-hmm. It is the coming of age young man, you know, coming from the bottom and trying to rise to the top and everything, having some hardships and such. But the way that they do it is just a chef's kiss on it. You're like, damn, let this man cook. The Night Only Lives Today has been a fun one. That one is basically ReZero. However, our main character, despite being at the bottom, he keeps training. He keeps trying. And he... climbs the wall regardless of what it is. He's always going to try and climb the wall. And so his perseverance is what really keeps you going. And then just the interactions between him and his squadron and everyone else is absolutely hilarious.
Oh.
Because they're just like a couple of guys.
Genuine question. Did we talk, like on the podcast, did we talk about the ending to Kaiju number 8, manga-wise?
No. At least I wasn't there for that, if that's the case.
Okay. Because I don't think, well, no one else reads it on the podcast. No one else reads it, so I don't think so. That happened, and I will say this right now, spoilers for Kaiju number 8. We won't go super in, well, we're talking about the ending, but like, we won't go super in depth for that, but like, yeah, we'll probably talk about that.
Actually, not just that, Wild Strawberry has also ended too.
It did? Okay, I didn't catch up on Wild Strawberry. Yes. I only read like the first chapters when you first recommended it, and knowing that it's over now, okay, tell me this. Now that it's over, is it worth reading?
For certain moments, yes, but it gets fairly rushed around the end.
Okay.
Because there are certain points you're like, damn, that's cool. And then there's another moment you're like, damn, that's a reference.
That's big. But you would say, like, overall, worth it or nah?
Yes, overall, worth it. But you, overall, it's worth it because of the premise itself. And you're, like, you're looking at it and it's like, damn, I like this.
Yeah, I'll probably go through it and read it then. That's the case.
If I have to say anything, I'd have to say it's a 7.
It's a 7.
It's a 7. Because for one, the beginning hooks you. It hooks you fairly well.
Okay.
And it keeps you going for the most part until you get to, I want to say, their exam arc. And that's when it's kind of like, this is getting quick.
We're speeding up.
Hey, we're speeding up.
Okay. As far as Kaiju number 8 is concerned, personally, I'm kind of like, damn, this
wrap up. Yeah.
This is just over, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed.
I am too.
It just kind of ends. I mean, like, obviously, it you fight the big bad, right? But, like, I expected 9 to be, like, either the first of many situations that are going to keep happening. The overarching antagonist for, like, he was the overarching antagonist for the whole series. But, like, I don't know, I just kind of expected him to kind of keep getting away and keep getting stronger. Or keep having another scheme. And for it to kind of just ended.
I think that him having another scheme was kind of like, was okay. If that would have been a nice one. However, I also can imagine that the big bad that they were talking about for at least Japan could have gotten away too and survived and morphed into something else. Instead of being 9, it will be
so
whatever
that, like,
else.
Yeah, so 9 would have like been, like, I expected just more enemies like 9.
Oh, or most at the very definitely. Least
that 9 was like, because it did kind of talk about it, where like 9 has siblings, right? And like you do fight 10. Like, they fight 10 and a couple other ones. And I expected, like,
and he more created more, too.
Yeah, he created a bunch more that, like, pulled up at the end. But, like, I expected more of, like, that being, like, a reoccurring threat in some cases.
Like, if there's a new big bad, a 9 made up a higher form or something like that. I have no idea.
Or at the very least, maybe, like, they deal with, like, a couple of the kaijus, but some of the kaijus get away, and, like, he's using that as his, like, counsel of kaijus to kind of, like, figure out what he wants to do next type situation. Like, it sounds very, like, I don't know how to describe this. It sounds very superhero-esque or, like, Western kind of thought process, but, like, I don't know. I just kind of expected more from Kaiju number 8 overall as a story.
Honestly, if they could have done it, 8 could have died. But the whole aspect of, you know, that super Kaiju that popped up, that could have held off longer. Or if it did have to show up, have it that now this is all has happened, other Kaijus are popping up across the country in the United States or wherever else from fucking space somewhere in the planet's core, like Steven Universe, something. But no.
I just expected more from it overall. It's like he's kind of a superhero now, but it's like, oh, that's cool, but like, we're not gonna continue with that new outlook that people have of him. So like,
well, it's not just that, it's also the fact that they kind of copped out on what happened to Kafka as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, he does get to, he can, the idea is that he's technically full Kaiju at the end of it, and then it like fades away, if I'm not mistaken, like the thing. No, because he can still transform. That's why they're treating it like the superhero thing. So it's like, I don't know, it's just not the spirits aren't there anymore.
They stayed. However, originally he was supposed to fade because they said, "Hey, we kept your heart. We didn't really want to like transform you into a Kaiju completely, but you know, our core is gone. So if you want to take care of this Kaiju, we have to transform your heart into a Kaiju core now." And he's like, "All right, I'll sacrifice everything. Let's go all in." That's why he got that white look now, at least then.
Yeah.
And once the Kaiju died, that other Kaiju died, he also perished too, because, you know, he exhausted himself and his wish was fulfilled, so he was going to pass. And then,
what they say is,
I guess, some sort of mind Kaiju thing happened, and the director said, "Hey, yo, I got a gift for you," and plunged, I guess, I want to say his heart into him, because he says, "I don't need this anymore." And Kafka survived.
Yeah, he took the old core. Yeah, he took the old core and plunged it into him.
Yeah.
Well, his
now
old core.
His yeah. I'm pretty sure it's his heart.
It's like 8.
Because he has a heart now.
Because he would have had a heart.
Yeah.
That's true. So now he has a heart and a core again.
So yeah. So now the thing's still there, and he has the heart. So the whole idea of the Kaiju number 8 fading away is now just not there.
Well, the Kaiju number 8 was gonna the Kaiju would have faded away anyway, because it said that Kefka convinced the spirit to stay.
No, help him. The director did like, some. The director did something like that. Not Kefka. The director. Director basically said, "Hey, yo, you're fucking sane. You're protecting the new generation.
Like, there's more to fight."
Yeah. And so they're still there. And I just kind of feel this kind of a cop-out.
You beat that guy, but the fight's not over. And it's like, okay, cool. But then, like, obviously it's, at least for me, I'm like, okay, so are we going to address the fact that the fight's not over then? Like, are we going to...
And the fact that other countries now are looking for Kaiju number 8. That could have been an interesting concept, too. Who are their top heroes? Their top hunters? Who are their...
How do they deal with Kaiju? Do they do it in the same way? Like,
exactly. And the fact that there was no interaction between the director and the core. That's the main thing. That's another thing, at least for me. Because it would have been interesting if you actually saw the spirit pop up and be like, "Hey, we're done. Thank you. Peace out." And then the director said, "No, we still need you. We need you to stay and help protect the city because X, Y, and Z, Z, Y, X." Yes, Kafka and him had a heart-to-heart, but it would have been nice to see something of just an indication that this has happened. Because the general perception is that Kaiju number 8 should no longer exist. Because in my opinion is that when I first looked at this, I thought that, oh, hey, with whatever was given to him, he would now just be an insanely powerful officer. whatever the director gave him is just his level, the director's level, essentially. That's what I figure is going to happen.
Yeah.
But no.
And I know that the idea was that, like, oh, he finally gets to fight by Mina's side, and that's cool.
But that's not what happens.
I don't think that they ever really...
They never did have a moment, their relationship, like that.
Like, we know their past, right? And we know that they, like, have, like, these tiny little, like, moments. Because they stress the idea that, like, Mina went in there by herself and she was alone. And all she wanted to do was have Kafka at her back. Shit. Because that was the dude that was supposed to be leading her through all this. She wasn't supposed to be doing it alone. Which is why she's so hardened. But, like... Yeah, she's looking forward to him, but they never actually, like, address it. Like, they never really have a conversation about it. They don't talk about it.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just slipped to the wayside. It's little flutter moments where she's like, oh, my Kafka.
But it's, like, clearly, like, a major part of their characters, and it's and they just don't, like, address it at any point. Like, the story addresses it, but the characters never actually have a conversation at any point going, like, yeah, my bad, bro. like I actually gave up at a certain point, but then I kind of found, like, new heart. Like, they don't really... She doesn't even express the feeling of, like, I'm glad you're here. Like, having that moment of vulnerability.
They express it in, like... They don't have, like, a face-to-face, but
like
they
express
it in, like...
Like I said, the story addresses it, but, like...
Yeah.
The characters never actually have a moment in which they're like, hey, yo, this is the deal, right? Like... I was like, I'm glad
you're
here.
No, they don't sit down and talk about it. But yeah, like, I remember at least in the anime and the manga that there were moments where, what is it? It was when Kafka was late to the meeting, and she stood up and, like, said something to her as she was giving a speech, and then immediately she had to sit him down,
because he's
saying
like,
"Hey, do 1,000 push-ups or whatever," and he's like, "Fuck, okay, let's do it," and she's just kind of smiling, walking away but smiling.
Yeah, because she's like, I am your superior officer. Like,
she smiles because, you know, you're here. I'm happy. Thank you for being here, essentially. Or thank you for giving me the confidence, whatever the heck.
But
it's never, like, face-to-face addressing. She doesn't express that to the whole crowd or just to him.
Yeah, of course. But, like, they never express that to each other. Like,
at any point. And that's the main thing.
And that's, I'm like, why? Especially since these two are supposed to be childhood friends, and the one thing she wants is for him to be here, and the one thing he wants is to be by her side, so I don't know why they can't just say that to each other, because they already knew they were supposed to be doing this together. Like,
I guess it's like, already conveyed. They already know that they want this to happen.
I guess
happen,
they already
but
know, but they didn't know that, like, Kefka doesn't know she was waiting on him, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Right?
And yes. Like, I understand.
And Mina doesn't know. He's like, bro, I was trying, but, like, I just really, it just wasn't happening. And I'm like, and I'm here now, but, like, it just wasn't happening. it's like, there's obviously supposed to be, like, it could be a friendship. It's probably not supposed to be, because the hints at it, and they really don't address the fact that they go anywhere past that. There's a whole subplot, which I guess maybe might be covered in the side manga, like the B-side with, what's his name? But, like,
I think has that ended?
I don't know. I haven't been reading it. I want to go check it out later, but, like, I haven't been reading it. But, like, my issue with that is, like, he has a whole subplot that's just not addressed, because Kefka is technically supposed to be his rival at the same time, and it's kind of clear he likes her too. So, like, you know what I mean? Because it's like, yo, I'm going for your job. He's like, excuse me. He's like, there ain't nobody supposed to be by her side but me, bro. But they just don't, like, that's not really addressed. Like, they help each other out, but, like, that's not really addressed. Mm. And then on top of that, the story was kind of building up to a point that we were gonna see, like, other characters kind of come into their own and be, like, maybe not on the same level of Kafka, but seemingly they looked like they were going to get their own versions, their own specialized kaiju suits. We barely even saw Reno use his. Like, we know what it does, but he's had, like, almost no fights with it. And then they made a big deal of Shinomiya getting hers, and...
She got two!
I mean, yeah.
Oh, three. I think
she got a power up, and we were just kind of like, okay, that was out of left field. And like,
she got the eyes, she got the suit,
we don't really get to see her do much with it. I'm just like, okay. In fact, I actually kind of expected more of the other characters to have a bigger role in the last fight with Nine, especially when they started hinting at the fact that like Nine is more than just what he is. And so even if, I don't know, I probably would have liked it better if they just jumped Nine and beat him that way. But like, because, I don't know, Kefka getting a power-up isn't a bad thing to me, but like, I feel like the level at which they were fighting kind of sucked, because now they're, once again, humanity, like, we just reached a point where it's, like, the next generation is evolving and getting all these specialized suits and getting stronger, and then it's like, well, we just suffered a threat that, like, outclasses everything we're capable of again, mm-hmm. even though we just all got way stronger. And so it's yeah. like, what are we doing? Well,
it was kind of hinted at too in the beginning that Kafka wasn't really going all in general, because of the fact that a fight with the director, when he was getting himself bodied, and then that whole threatening from a kaiju, he transformed and became that berserk state and yeah. was bodying the shit out of the director after that.
And that's fine, but I guess it's not that's him having a transformation is not the issue to me. It's the fact that like Nine got an upgrade, and then Nine got another upgrade, and then Nine became like an ultra villain, and you're like,
yeah,
damn.
He got three to four upgrades.
But like the only person that can deal with him at the end of the series
is Kaiju number
is
8
is Kefka,
yeah.
And yeah. I'm like, but what was the point of everybody else getting all these specialized suits if we can't have them fight alongside him anyway? Like, that's, it's kind of, like, Reno's whole thing is, I'm trying to keep up. He doesn't want to have Kefka, like, carry the team. Like, that's, like, part of his story. And Shinomi is like, I refuse to be left alone, like, left in the dust. Like, she's like, no. She's like, absolutely not. I'm not about to keep getting saved. I fucking refuse. And so, like, there is a part of it that it's like, okay, so these characters got crazy upgrades, but none of them are actually
relevant.
On par with the thing that we're supposed to be fighting in the end. Or at least it doesn't seem like it.
No,
like, granted,
you know, they helped. They took down the newer generations of the kaijus as well.
Oh, yeah. But, like, and then finally,
but it wasn't like,
fine.
Oh, yeah, we did significant damage. They couldn't do anything. Only Kefka could do something. And I think,
and that's, like, a little lame.
The girl, I forget her name, the childhood friend,
Mina.
She was able to do something from the giant ass cannon for, like, one shot. And then Kefka just ended it.
Also, I'm going to be honest, yeah, that's also a part of it that's, like, a little disappointing. I expected, like, Mina to be of a more significant role in that fight. Like, before he got transformed again, she was actually playing a role. And then he transformed again, and we're like, well,
I'm outclassed.
Mina's just not here anymore. And I'm like, that kind of defeats
the
point of, like,
them
wanting to... Like, I feel like them working together is super short-lived.
Like, it was the Sakura treatment, kind of. Not completely, but, you know, when she said, oh, yeah, I'm on par with you guys. Kafka said, yeah, I'm on par with you guys. And then, I'm gonna exceed you now.
Wait, I gotta get way better, though. You gotta get way better right now, though. And I'm like, wow.
And then she became the Sakura. It's like, okay.
Which is crazy because Mina was like the bar for the longest, and like she's the only one, she's the one that we're looking at trying to get to the whole time, and then we not only get there, but we pass her real hard. We don't really talk about the fact that she has like a bioengineered tiger. Like,
we don't.
That tiger's just there, bro. Like,
I personally wish that they give her a body armor too. The tiger and a body armor would be
I genuinely thought, like, by the end of this, well, I thought with a nice continuation, she was going to get a specialized suit, because they had been, like, basically running through a bunch of them and going, like, okay, so you have the tiger, and you have this, and it was like, look, you're one of the strongest people we have, and on top of that, you're starting to get outclassed by the stuff that's, like, piling up. Maybe we give you something that gives you an extra edge, or something that lets her fight, like, even more on par with what Kafka's doing. I just expected... I mean, technically, she's supposed to be a sniper anyway, so she really shouldn't have been, like, directly in the fray. considering no, how all of her stuff has worked. But, like,
I don't know, just, I'm, a close combat-wise suit or protective suit, something like that. Something. Shit.
I just thought she was going to get something. And, like, if Kefka was like, look, we get to fight side by side with her new suit and the fact that she has the tiger and this thing, and, like, you know, Shinomi's there and Reno's there, and, like, that stuff's happening, I'm like, cool. Like I said, I was expecting some of the other, like party members, quote-unquote, like, I guess, like, recruits that were, like, with them in their training.
Mm-hmm.
They kept bringing up and talking about how, like, the other recruits were, like, getting better and doing certain things and doing stuff here and having, like, these other moments elsewhere that I'm like, you gonna give them some suits? We gonna talk about them or anything like that? We gonna address anything about these characters? Because, like, some of them have, like, distinct character designs that I'm like, are they gonna matter at some point? Or, like...
No, it just boils down to the few, sadly enough. They're the selected main cast.
As usual. I love the idea of having, like, power suits to fight kaijus and stuff like that. Like, I like the idea of a lot of the stuff that they put forward as concepts in this.
Throw out a fucking mech. Just give us fucking a mech fighting a kaiju. A Gundam.
That would have been straight up fantastic.
Kaiju Gundam would have been.
It sounds crazy, badass. But the idea of someone going like, look, man, I found out the resources to make, like, I have the resources to just make a mech. I can just have a mech. And I can fund it.
Have it, like, be made of kaiju skin.
You meet me halfway. I can make this a good-ass weapon that I could just use all the time. And it's, like, a suit. Like, one of the suits that, like, you know, like, I wanted to see people adapt their default power suits into something different. Right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to see each person that was, well, maybe not every single person, but a lot of them that were meant to be, like, around, clearly. Kind of get something that made them unique in their own way. So, like, Reno getting his, like, cryo suit was cool. He just didn't use it much, and I'm like, that's not even his fault. They just barely put him in any fights after he got it. And I'm like, okay.
The only time that we got to see it was when he finished training, when he was training with it.
Yeah, when
and
he first shows up with it.
Flash of, oh yeah, Kafka, I got this. I got your back.
Yeah, I can do this. I'm like, cool. Can I see that fight? At least? Can I see that fight at least?
It would have been cool if there's another a number popping up, and then he just, like, bodies the number.
I find it crazy. I'm going to be honest. I find it insane that we don't have a fight in which Kafka and Reno are teaming up with his new suit and beating the brakes off of something. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It just never happens. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. Like I said, it's just really disappointing overall. And because a lot of it was really, it started off with a lot of promise. And I thought there was, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed with the origins of the kaiju number 8. Like, I'm all right with it, but I really thought it was going to be something else. Like, I thought it was going to be something similar to being like, oh yeah, like 8 and 9 and like a couple other of them are like siblings. And all have different views on how, like, humanity should be ran or how it should work. And I felt like kaiju number 8 would be, like, the one that's like, nah, we could work together with humanity. Like, I kind of don't want to be just forces of destruction. Almost like Venom. Like, a lot of that happened with, the Donny Cates run in Venom. Where the idea with the symbiotes was, and it's weird to put this story on another one, but, like, it's similar in nature where it's, like, I can use this as a reference point. But in Donny Cates, like, Venom, the symbiotes were believed to be, as far as anybody knew it originally, they were believed to be, like, this evil force, and then they turned out to be a force for good. They chose to be a force for good. And the reason why is because a bunch of them rebelled against Null, like the symbiote god, right? So they're like, we don't want to be your tools. We don't want to be these things that are feared, right? And thus, they steal them away. And it is Venom himself who is a little strange later on, because when Null comes back, basically, and starts ruling over the rest of the symbiotes and doing his thing, Venom is one of the few ones that's just like, nah, man, I ain't about that. I'm trying to be a hero out here. Like, and so it's like, like, obviously Carnage falls right in. He's like, yo, I love it. But Venom is like, nah, we don't do that. And Null takes notice and goes like, get him specifically. I'm sick of him. But like, that kind of idea is what I was thinking was happening along the lines with the kaijus. I'm not going to lie, and I'm not going to hold it against for not matching my every expectation, but like, with the way that it operated, I just genuinely, like, because a huge part of it is like, we don't know much about the kaijus, and like, the kaijus seem to have their own intelligence, and like, we're learning more about, it's being shown to us pretty early that humans, when they execute kaijus and do the things that they do in order to stay alive, do not know their enemy as well as they think they do. And then on top of that, their enemy is evolving.
Yeah.
Like they, and so it's like, all right, so are we going to address the fact that, maybe they're similar in many ways? Maybe humans technically are the bad guy in this case, but we're fighting for survival. But we refuse to just die because, like, why would we? Right? Like, why would we just roll over and just take death? You know, but like, I don't know, they just turn out to just be evil forces. There's like nothing good about kaijus at all. And the only kaiju that gets developed that is good is made from a bunch of humans that died to a calamity of kaijus and basically like regretted the fact that they couldn't protect people and thus became like a kaiju. And a part of it is also a little weird because like, why wouldn't they just be manifested as like a spirit or something? Like that doesn't, it doesn't even explain how kaijus themselves work, because it's like, well, they turned into a kaiju even though they all died and like in battle and basically like were a revenant, so to speak. So it's like, are kaijus revenants? Like, are they negative feelings from humans? Like, do they generate from us? Is that the deal? Like, but like none of that's answered.
No, not in the slightest.
I'm like, bruh. I don't know. I thought it was a cool ride, but at the same time, I just kind of reached the end of it and was like, damn, bro. I thought we was going somewhere.
There's a lot of potential. There was a lot of potential wasted, yeah.
I thought we were going somewhere. Because a lot of people feel like that with My Hero, too. But the craziest part is I'm way more satisfied with My Hero as a story.
Yes.
I want there to be a second part. I'm way more satisfied with My Hero as a story overall.
I'm pretty sure you're with me with this one, that we wished that there was the My Hero Shippuden.
That's the only thing. Like, where My Hero ended is totally fine. I just wish we picked up and was like, okay, so we're going to talk about them being, like, adults now. And I'd be like, cool.
not even that. Even, like, earlier when we were talking about this, like, once the Dark Deku shit happened, literally right there it could have been, oh yeah, we end the manga and we have Shippuden, they age up how many years, everyone is a full licensed superhero aside from Deku, or Deku is a licensed superhero but he's still like rogue. So
no, we would have to address everything up until, you couldn't just stop at Dark Deku. Like, I mean, I get where you're going from, but like,
you could have,
but no, the reason why I say no is because like, the world is in such a bad state that jumping forward a couple of years is kind of crazy. Like, the idea is, like, we couldn't fix this for years, bro. Like, this shit was ass. Like, it's kind of bad. Like, it's not bad writing, but it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, if you jump forward like that, it's, like, bro, wait. Like, Deku's, last time we're leaving him, he is actively hunting down, like, Deku's actively hunting down All For One, and All For One's actively hunting down Deku. We can't stop it there. We can't skip forward in years.
Because well, like, not there earlier when like the semester ends, have it be a year instead of
no. Being, genuinely, I personally think you could have, like, I think the actual ending that they have for it, like the official ending that they have for it, is fine. I just want a manga that goes like, okay, like right where we're at right now at the end of the series, where we've had a time skip, they are adults now. Right, they are adults now. Without spoiling too much for those that don't know, so like, I just, you know, we're not going to talk about the exact ending, but we're like, they are adults now, and just going like, all right, so like, we're just going to keep talking about this. Like, we're going to talk about new threats that popped up, like as their time being adult heroes, and like the stuff that they have to balance, like their work life balance and stuff like that.
Yeah. Just, okay. Yeah.
Like,
just turn it into, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be straight up like a Marvel comic, but like, it's right there. Like, it's where your information, it's where all your inspiration is coming from, is from comic books. So it's like, yeah, no, you just do that now. Like, it doesn't have to go on as long, obviously. Shouldn't.
Oh, no, I wasn't denying the fact that the ending could have just jumped off. There were so many possibilities, because apparently, what is it, a little side stories, a little statements, there's, like, so many things you can do with the characters, and interactions, if coupling, if he really wanted to.
Like, I would love to see, like, a manga in which they have Deku and Uraraka attempt, not, I don't want that to purely be about that, right? But I would love for that to be, like, something that they have to try to balance while being heroes, and you can see that struggle and, like, how that works in their relationship, and, like, seeing how that works with other people's friendships, because obviously, you know, you can team up and help out people, but, like, I don't know, it just feels like a little bit of a, kind of a, My Hero isn't a waste, because it finishes really, like, in a way that I'm, like, I'm satisfied. This is the end of a story, I just wish there was more.
Mm-hmm.
Kaiju number 8 finishes where I'm, like, I'm kind of not satisfied, and I wish there was way more. Like, this is kind of short.
they honestly left it open-ended versus how My Hero was, because of the fact that within the last chapter, they say, oh, yeah, you're not safe, man. You gotta stay hidden. We can't let you reveal yourself or anything.
Yeah, like, there's a whole new interesting world state that, like, we're just in at the end of Kaiju number 8, and I'm like, okay, cool, are we gonna talk about that? And it's like, nah. I'm like, okay.
Not in the slightest. Just stay hidden, actually, do your job, and that's it.
And it's crazy, because technically speaking, we've gone back to the original world state that we were in.
Yeah.
Which makes me go,
it's
like,
just
okay,
that, so, you know, Kafka's doing his thing.
Like, there's a part of me right now, upon thinking about it, that's like, okay, so what did we do all this for if we're going to be exactly where we started? But then another part of me is like, I kind of wanted it to be in that world state the whole time, so why did we have him reveal himself? Like, it's like the best way I could possibly describe it. There's like a huge part of me that's like, I wanted it to be a thing where we constantly see him being a secret for a long period of time, and when it happens in the manga that he reveals himself, I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting, but I thought we were going to go somewhere with it. And then we kind of go somewhere with it. Like, because he becomes like a weapon of the corp, and I'm like, that's okay, like, they can send him off and do stuff, and then we could talk about whether or not, like, how we feel about sending him and having him be a weapon is, but we really don't talk about that. And then it's like, okay, well, now you gotta be a secret again. I'm like, cool, that's kind of the state I wanted the story to be in the first place. Are we gonna talk about that now? Nah. So I'm like, okay, I get nothing I want. I get nothing. I had no good parts of either of those. But, like, don't get me wrong, there's some really, really cool moments throughout the entire series.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
It just hits a point where you're like, okay. Oh, man. I just wanted
shit,
more.
Shit, fucking Kaiju number 9 was so busted. They had to, like, figure out. They had to. It was
as
nearly
a villain,
Madara
he was already kind of
going on.
I'm gonna be. Okay, as a villain, he was weirdly already kind of cool and busted by default. Like, from his original appearance of going, like, this motherfucker learns. Done. And it's like, he will keep coming back with new shit. As long as he gets away. And he always has a plan to get away. I've been like, bruh. That's a problem.
I agree. Kaiju, but and here's the thing, Kaiju number 8 would have been able to take care of him earlier if whatever the heck didn't happen. But it was in the state where he was combined with, I think it was 2 and himself.
Yeah, he combined with 2.
And he was just adapting to all the fucking combat moves. I'm like, Jesus.
And I'm just
Christ.
Like, okay. I'm like, bro, he's just okay, he's kinda scaling up kinda fast here. I kinda liked it better. Like, okay, so when he initially got it and he's like dummy strong and he dips off, I'm like, okay, cool. Because they almost get him and he's like, nah, I gotta just get used to this, right? I'm like, cool, so we'll see you later, right? And then he kind of shows up a lot sooner than I was expecting him to show up as far as later goes. But I wanted him to like kind of sit in the shadows and heal and recover and keep sending out like different things to kind of destroy things in the meantime. And to gain more data so that he could actually understand what he's doing with this body.
And we just didn't get it. I don't know. But we're going to get off of Kaiju number 8 for a bit. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
There was a webtoon that I've been reading recently. It's a romance one. My bias gets on The Last Train.
Okay. Tell me about it real quick.
This one is... I'm just going to find this damn guy's name. And, blah, 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 blah. It's not popping up. So, this gentleman, he is full-grown adult, I think possibly in college. Yeah. He loves this music band. And he, with this music band, you know, it's called Long Afternoon. And, you know, he's just really passionate about it. Next thing you know, he doesn't realize he has doesn't have his, you know, headphones plugged in. And so the music just kind of blasting everywhere. And then this girl kind of like steps up to him saying, "Hey, your music is, you know, going everywhere. You need to, you know, stop that." But, you know, she teases him about it because they're about the same age. She always like looks at her and, you know, so on and so forth. And it's kind of a mutual relationship. And the best part about it is that this isn't some bullshit going on. This is like, oh yeah, this is genuine romance blossoming between two of them.
Yeah, so it's like,
because they actually try. Okay. It's not like the shonen. It's not the shonen stuff, best way to put it. They're actually teasing each other. They kind of like go a little further with some things as well. And it's nice to see an adult relationship, basically. An organic relationship.
So it's a nice little romance. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, but it doesn't have like as much as the old trope.
The stuff trope going stuff. On. It does play with like, it okay. here and there, and when they do, they clear that shit up real quick.
They address it like a normal human being should.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, thank God, because there was a moment where the whole "you're with someone, is this their boyfriend? Oh my God," and just like, we can talk about this. Let's be civil. And they literally introduce each other to the person that they were with. One was a coworker, the other one was an uncle. It's like, oh, all right, cool. So we're still, yes, we're still. Fantastic. Thank God. This happens so often.
You're like, thank goodness. So
it's refreshing relief. To see this.
Sweet relief.
That's the main thing about this.
What did you say it was again?
Hold on. My bias gets on The Last Train.
Okay.
Let me just type it up very quickly.
That's funny.
So that's pretty much it. Everything else is just kind of repeats. Just enjoying the little things, you know.
Okay. I finished, all I did was I finished Henshin. I don't know if I told you about this, but I did tell, well, the audience about Henshin before. So, Henshin is an indie manga by, well, I say indie, but it's by Saturday AM. Have you heard of Saturday AM before? I feel like popped up. Okay. So, Henshin is a Sentai manga about this dude who wants to be a journalist. Him and his friends basically go to a journalist college in which they are living in a city that is run by a Mr. Greaves. It's in Greaves.
If you'll please give me one moment. I didn't realize this. This shit's on Webtoons. Check it out. And the girl's cute.
There you go. But in this, it's just like a homeboy. I finished the first volume is the deal. Mm-hmm. So like in this story, essentially our main boy, he basically finds out that it's like, okay, he swears up and down. He's like, okay, Greaves is for sure doing some shady shit to run the city, because basically, much like Elon Musk, there's like a lot of like, Greaves technically gets money from like almost every part of the city somehow, like in some way somehow, and so he's like, he's got to be doing like some shady shit, right? And then there's like all these cover ups and things that happen like in the city, and he's like, I don't know what this is about, right? So. Basically his friend is like, hey man, you should just not write about that because that's a bad idea. And then he's like, really? She's like, and I love Rosa. She's just like, absolutely. You should not. He's like, you should just not. Cause she's like, it's not that I don't believe you, even though I don't believe you. but even if you could find something, even if you could find the evidence and write the story and it is believable, you for sure are going to get put on a list and get taken out. Like, don't do that. Like, just don't. And so, one day he's basically walking home and this monster hops out the sky and starts, like, essentially ripping things apart. And he's like, what the fuck? Why does no one, like, does this happen all the time? What the hell? And his friend Rosa earlier that day was telling him about like this masked hero that was popping up, but no one could ever figure out any information because anytime he fights something or something goes crazy, like it gets covered up and everything like that. It's like no one can get any information on it. And he's like, yo, why can you get information? She's like, I got my ways. Don't worry about it. And he's like, I guess whatever. All right. And he doesn't believe her, but she's like, okay, like you had a whole conspiracy theorist thing a second ago and I'm talking about a hero that shows up, but you know what, who cares? So later that day, he's helping out, and the masked hero shows up, who is, like, this, Power Rangered out cool dude with a scarf, but we don't know what he is. He's just called, like, the masked hero, and he essentially helps beat the crap out of this, this monster, but, like, while doing so, our boy, is saving other people. Right, so, like the masked hero is like trying to get him out of a situation, of the situation, and while he's in that situation, our main character is just like, but like innocent people though are also in the way.
So we gotta help them.
I gotta help them too. And it's not that the masked hero doesn't understand that, because he's like, bro, trust me, I get it. But I also like have to deal with the monster. And I can only deal with the monster if you're, like, not here. Basically, he's like, as much as he's saving people, he's like, bet, is everyone out? Yeah? Cool, I'm gonna deal with the monster, you get out of here. And then he immediately finds himself in another situation where he's helping more people. And he's like, cool, you're still not gone. Can we get these people out of here and then deal with the monster? And that just keeps happening, right? Until, like, the masked dude gets, like, wounded. And he's like, damn, bro. And obviously, with our guy being the guy he is, he's just like, I gotta help him. I gotta help the masked hero. He just got shanked trying to help everybody else, right? So he pulls up to the masked hero. He's like, yo, what can I do, bro? That look kind of bad. But I gotta help you out, bro. And he's like, look, bro, clearly you're a good kid. And you know what? I know what to do, right? And he's like, so here, take this. This is a spirit plug. And he's like, what the fuck is a spirit plug? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna give you a portion of my power, activate the spirit plug, you're gonna take that thing out. And he's like, I'm gonna take it out. He's like, yeah, no, you got it. You're getting a portion of my, I'm not giving you all my power, right? Like, it's gonna be out here. But, like, I need you to handle this right now, because I'm stabbed. I'm not looking too good right now. And so, he handles it. Like, he does his whole Phoenix Ranger power-up situation going on, and he manages to slash his way through, and he's like, alright, cool, I did it. And then suddenly, like, the Master is just gone, and he's like, oh, okay, I don't know where he went. He's not dead, because he got up and left, clearly. But I got so many questions and not enough answers. So many questions and not enough answers. But the whole deal with, like, the monsters that they deal with is that the longer that, like, so they basically come through, like, cracks in the sky or, like, space. And the longer they stay in the real world, the harder they become to fight. Like, legitimately, they just become an issue the longer they're around. And so now he's trying to be like, okay, he immediately goes and tells Rosa, he's like, okay, look, here's the deal. So I'm a Power Ranger now. I gotta fight monsters. She figures out basically because like one of them, like on one of the things he's talking to her about one day, one of them comes through and he's like, I'm not about to keep this a secret from her, so I'm just gonna save her regardless. Like, I'm just gonna let her in on the secret. It's fine. It's everything I do anyway gets covered up anyway because I'm a Power Ranger dude now, so like, it's fine.
So I'm not gonna lie, you kind of just explained Bleach a bit.
You know, it is admittedly a little bit like Bleach, but we don't know what happened with the Mask Hero yet, because this is just
volume one. No. Most definitely on that. It's aspect. Very similar. It's just, it's, oh yeah, I'm gonna give you a portion of my power. It's
very similar.
All right.
Because he's like, yo, he's a part of it. But it's because they go out of their way to be like, he's not giving it to him in a sacrifice. He's not Green Lanterning it, right? Like, where, like, the Green Lantern, in Hal Jordan's story, the Green Lantern that he finds is dying. And he's like, take the ring, right? Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, in Bleach, it wasn't that either. It's like, Rukia got injured, and, okay, hey, I need you to take out this hollow, yeah, and unless like, your family's gonna fucking die.
But like, that's what I mean.
A portion it of goes my power. Out of its way to all not. Of it. There you go. Oh, wait, you took all my power, and now you're a soul reaper. Lovely.
No, he just gives him a spirit plug, and he's like, yeah, no, manifest that shit. And he's like, okay, bet. Now, we don't know what happened to the Masked Hero. I'm pretty sure he's not dead, though, because they go out of their way to be like, he just vanished. We don't know what happened to him. Like, we don't see him disappear. He doesn't fade away. He doesn't get dusted.
There's no body. If there's no body, he's not dead.
Like, yeah, basically. So I'm waiting for him to pop back up, but he doesn't pop back up in the first volume. But we very quickly find out that, like, there's other people that can also do this same thing. And not that many people. We only find one other person, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another person that could do it, and he's basically the Green Ranger of the whole thing. And I'm like, he's stunting. He stunts. He pulls up and stunts hard. he's like, you don't even know what you're doing, do you? He's like, no, not a clue. That's too bad. Oof.
Get dunked on.
Get dunked on, kid. He's like, bruh. He's like, stay out of it. He's like, how am I supposed to stay out of it? It's giant monsters attacking the city. What am I supposed to do? Not stop the giant monster attacking the city? What the fuck? It's got the ability to stop it, or people are gonna get hurt. I can just stop it. But yeah, no, he gets mollywopped the first time this dude shows up. It's not even close. He's like, bro, he's talking to Rosa, and she's like, that fight sounds cool as hell. He's like, no, that fight was embarrassing, bro. I got beat down, man. I was like, I've never been beaten down like that in my life. It's crazy. It's ass. I don't ever want that to happen again. He's not even like emo about it. He's just like, this shit sucks, bro. You know what? It's kind of realistic in that way of like just being like, man, I didn't think I was gonna get my ass kicked like this. I knew I had to fight, but damn.
Man, I thought I was gonna hold my own, but no, it was just
again, no, I thought I was doing the right thing. He basically walks away from that fight going like, bro, I really have no idea what the fuck I'm doing at all. Like, I got nothing. This man showed up and
Captain Ginyu would be very disappointed.
He's like, this man showed up with similar powers as me and beat the shit out of me like I was nothing. He's like, what am I supposed to do against that? And I'm like, you know what, that's totally fair. He was like, homeboy disappeared and I got no clues on what to do. He's like, but like, because he's like, he's thinking about it, because it's like when Rosa's asking him questions about it, he's like, damn, I really don't know anything about anything that's going on. I know nothing. He's like, I don't even know what these monsters are. I just know they got to be stopped. He's like, I don't know what they are. I don't know what I am. I don't know what this thing is. I don't know what the Masked Hero is. He got a cool scarf. I don't even know if I can get one of those. He's like, I got nothing. But
I think it's really cool so far. It's doing a really good job at just kind of like having things unravel. The first volume was kind of fun. I would say it's a little, I want to say it's a little slow paced, but it's kind of relaxing in that way of like a cool like henshin superhero manga that's kind of taking its time. It's not that there's not action or anything like that happening. It's just that the story clearly is a bit of a slow burn. And it's meant to be read in, like, a volume form. Because if I was reading that chapter to chapter, I'd be a little, like, what? But I would recommend, if you're going to check it out via getting a volume to support it. Because, I mean, it's the only other... I'm going to say this. Saturday AM doesn't exactly make it easy to read it chapter to chapter like Shonen Jump does. So, like, I would recommend just buying the volume if you want to read it. It's not much. It's just easier that way. Because that's what I did, and I was like, bet. This was fun. I'll buy the next one. The same thing can be said for, like, any of their other stuff. Like, you've read a lot of different anime and stuff like that. You've ever read Apple Black, by any chance? Or seen it?
Apple Black?
Apple Black.
Hold on.
I believe it's their most popular one, but I just don't know if you've seen anything about it or not.
I probably have. It seems familiar.
Okay. But I'll go check out some of their stuff, like some of those stuff. I want to go check out Apple Black. It's on my list. Clock Strikers was one of the ones I was reading beforehand. I hadn't finished that volume, I realized, but I actually really enjoyed it. I got to jump back onto that one. But I would recommend checking out more stuff from Saturday AM if you can. Besides that, I mean, like, we talked about how we played Peak. Obviously I was playing Heartworm's been really fun. I played the Daemon X Machina Titan Scion demo. I love it. The movement in there is so clean, and personally I like really like the idea of power armor. Some people are not a fan of the fact that we're going from big mech to power armor. I'm here to let you know that big mech is still in there. It's just that power armor is the forefront, and it makes the game... I prefer power armor over giant mech, but like the movement you can do now because you're a tiny person in a suit versus being a big clunky, well, relatively clunky, because I made my mech fast as fuck, boy, but like but like I can do that even more with like the tiny like power suit, if that makes any sense. Like, you're very quick and maneuverable, and like you are a, even in the original game, you're a big mech that might as well be a tiny dude fighting a Goliath. So now you're an even tinier, like, thing fighting crazier, giant, bigger Goliaths. Like, you're fighting things that made your mech look small as a smaller thing in general, and it's kind of fun. I'm like, yeah. It's very David and Goliath. It's extremely David and Goliath-esque. It's really cool to do that. The melee combat has been overhauled, and it's way better now, in my opinion, and they have this whole system in which you are taking resources from, like, some of the enemies and using it to graft onto yourself that give you new abilities as well. So the melee combat is really cool now. Like, the way you get, like, fusion skills and stuff like that, that allow you to do things, like, some of the stuff, like, lets you teleport as a flash step, which, to be fair, you could blink in the previous game, but it was a little weird on how you got it. I like it better in this game significantly. But, like,
that's good.
Yeah, you can use your arsenal to teleport. You can zip around and be fast as fuck. You can do cool, crazy, like, sword combos and stuff, because they have a lot of melee weapons. That's the other thing that's been given. They've thrown a bunch of melee weapons into this one in comparison, because they matter more. Like, you have a bunch of guns still and a bunch of, like, those weapons, but, like, the melee combat has been overhauled, like, significantly. It's way better, in my opinion, than, like, the original Daemon X Machina. So I would recommend just going to check it out. I mean, the demo's out. It's fun. It's really cool. Very Vanquished, which I'm like, say less. I'm telling you right now, because this is just the way I always do it. I'm going to make the sleekest, fastest little mech, dude, little power suit I could possibly do. Because my two favorite things to do in anything that involves making a mech is I either need to make a hunk of junk that's fighting its best, right? Because those are always cool. Like, these are my two favorite mech tropes. I either like the old thing that, like,
should not work anymore, and it's falling apart, and it's holding in there, and it's beating the shit out of everything, bro. It's cooking, because people underestimate it. And the other one is, like, I like the small, sleek, fast one. Like, I like the one that's like, yo, this shit is a prototype. this shit should not even be on the battlefield right now, but he's doing it. Like, those are the two that I like. I like the one where you look at it and goes like, this thing ain't doing nothing, and then it clocks the shit out of your shit. Like, it like someone gets in there and unlocks it like real steel-esque Barbados from Gundam, where that thing is old. That thing is old, and everybody's like, what is this gonna do? And homie is in there running it like it might as well be like the cleanest, most newest thing ever. he's dog walking people that are like professionals. They're like, there's no way. there's no way. It's impossible. It's like, you know, that hunk of junk are beating the shit out of us? That's crazy. He's like, either that or the tiniest, smallest thing that's just like, nah, he's not there. You can't touch him. He's too fast. He's not big at all. He's not meant to. Those are my two favorite ones. So you best believe that when I get in there and the full game comes out, because I'm gonna stream it anyway, but like when I get in there and I get my hands into the guts of these robots that I can customize, like this power armor suit, I'm gonna make it small, clean as fuck, and fast as fuck, boy. I'm gonna be zipping. The moment I get teleports, it's gonna be crazy. I'm gonna be all over the place.
I don't know why speed is always just the must thing to have. It's always just the must thing to have for some reason.
See, there's something really fun about like the big bulky ones that are just strong. Like it punches something and like it lays it out. Because it is fun to do that. I completely vibe with that idea for a mech completely. Like it's cool. I just lean towards the fast ones though. I just need it to be tiny and sleek and smoothing. It's always gonna be cooler to me. Either that or it's a bucket of bolts.
Yeah.
It's always the two. But it's gonna be fun. I really enjoy Daemon X Machina, so I'm looking forward to playing that one. Other than that, I don't think I've been watching some anime. Clevetus has been really cool, but I think I talked a little bit about Clevetus on previous stuff. I didn't tell you too much about it, but it's basically a dark fantasy anime in which this dark beast thing that exists. Basically, there's these like four great dark beasts that exist out there, and humanity is pushed to the edge of a continent, and this is just considered their area, right? Mm-hmm. And humans are like, bro, we're gonna venture off and we're gonna get out there. We're gonna expand our horizons and save our lands from like the dark beasts. We're gonna expand into that area and like slowly push the dark beasts back. And then you get in the beginning of this story, and the dark beasts that they pull up on goes like, oh, this is interesting. You guys pulled up with these weapons. That's curious. Where'd you get them from? What's that about? Is this meant to kill me? Alright, y'all not answering? Fuck all of y'all. All these heroes die. Fucks them all up. One character in particular does get a slash on him. He's like, I like you, girl. You get fucked up anyway because you slashed me, but I like you. He brings her back later on because he's like, because basically he does this thing where he's like, alright, so the humans really did think it was something to pull up on me with these weapons and try to kill me. That's wild. I'm gonna show them they should have never been born.
So he pulls up. I think up I know what you're talking about. I've seen some clips of it where all that has happened, and he somehow finds a child and yes. Decides to raise the child.
I'll tell you exactly what happens. So he pulls up, destroys the city, right? Mm. Destroys it, wrecks the shit out of it. This one girl who's carrying what is the prince. This is the prince of this like castle. It is a baby, right? And she's the caretaker for it, basically. And she's like, please don't hurt the baby. Just take the baby. And he's like, why do you do this? And he's like,
He's like looking. He's like, "What are you telling me to just take the baby and protect it? Why would I do that?" She's like, "I promise you, you'll understand. Like, you'll understand humanity and like why we do what we do and some of the stuff like that. Just take the baby, take care of it. I promise. It's like you'll get it if you just take the baby, and like you know just raise it." And he's like, "Dead ass." And he's like, and the kid and the caretaker is like, "I promise." He's like, "You're about to die anyway, so it's not like I can kill you if it doesn't work out." And I was like, "You'll see." And I was like, "Well, if it doesn't work out, I mean, like, I'll take the kid for now. I'll see what's up. If it doesn't work out, if it's real bad, I'm probably just, you know, out in humanity or something like that. Like, I'm not really fucking around here. And, like,
just kill the kid, you know? Just, you know, whatever.
He's not gonna kill the kid. He's like, he's specifically like, "I will not kill the kid. I'll raise the kid. I'll see what's up, right? I want to see what's up." So he pulls up. The kid's like, he does his own thing with the dark beast, where he's taking care of it. Like, as a dark beast, he's taking care of it. Like, it's a Hylian is what it's called. It's a Hylian child. But it's basically like a human baby. It basically doesn't matter.
It's a fucking elf from Legend of Zelda.
Fantasy elf, I guess, maybe. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's a baby. And it acts exactly like a human baby. Does not matter.
Yeah.
But they're like, he's like, they're like, "All right. Look, it is a baby. I can't make milk, and it needs to feed, and I can't have it eat things, because it's like, I clearly understand the concept of, like, an infant. You, hero girl, that from before, I will revive you. Yo, feed the kid." She's like, I was not pregnant. That's not how that works. I can't just do that."
I remember that scene.
She's like, he's like, "Deadass, what's the point of you?" And I was like, "Well, I mean, it's like, I mean, I was supposed to kill you, but, like, you know, I can't do that." So he's like, "All right, where I gotta go? How do I get milk for this kid?" He's like, "Well, we can find a wet nurse, but, you know, you gotta go find a wet nurse, and probably shouldn't pull up, you know, like that." That's, like, a bad idea. So he's like, "Fair enough." So Clevetus, the name of the show, pulls up, and he's like, "You know what? I'm a shrink into a human. I'll be a human for a little bit. Don't worry about it. We can travel. It'll be fine, right? Make sure that me and the baby, specifically the baby, is safe. If that baby's not safe, we're all dead. Well, I'm not dead. You're all dead." "Got it?" He's like, she's like, "Got it." And thus, they start their journey in which Levitus is attempting to understand humanity by raising this little prince child who, by default, existing, puts them in a scenario which they're going to be hunted down because Hylians are now rare. Well, they're rare, and then on top of that, he's from the royal bloodline, which makes it instantly, like, people are like, "That is a prince. You're carrying around a prince. We're going to need that." If they know, right? "We're going to need that off of you." Clevetus himself, in his human form, is significantly weaker. Because he's like, "Damn, I actually have the constitution of a human in this form. That shit's crazy. Y'all are ass." He can transform back into the beast, right? He can just do that. But, like, he is very susceptible to getting hit by, like, or stabbed by, like, random stuff if, like, they decide to, right? Like, and he's also susceptible to things that affect dark beasts because he's a little bit, he's a dark beast.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's trying to understand a lot of stuff through both the eyes of his now technically slave / bodyguard and this baby that he now has adopted and trying to understand, like, what's the deal with humanity, right? So now they're taking their journey and trying to understand and get an understanding of it. And, you know, homegirl lets it slide. She's like, "Hey, man, like, that baby's a prince. And if you, like, you play your cards right, you might actually have a human that, like, fucking respects dark beasts that, you know, is under your command." He's like, "Say less. I can make this little nigga the king of this world? I got it." He was like, "It's going to take a while." She's like, "One, it's going to take a while. You can't just let his kingdom get destroyed. You have to put things in play, right?" He's like, you can't just put him on the throne. Like, people, he's a kid. He's not, he can't even speak. It's a literal infant. So he's like, "Fine, I'll do it the long way, but, you know, we'll see what's up." And I'll protect their city because it needs to, apparently, that she had to explain to him at one point, which is actually quite funny to me. They was like, "Look, if his kingdom gets taken over, you can't put him on the throne, because then he has no claim to the throne, because it got taken over by someone else. And he's like, word? And he's like, yeah. So that means you have to protect their lands, and then we can work on getting, like, more of that underneath them later. But you have to make sure they don't get taken over first. And he's like, man, it's bullshit. This baby's more worth than I thought it was going to be. Fine, that's fine. He basically wants to plot. So, but I think it's cool. It's really cool. I think later episodes show off that, like, there are other dark beasts, obviously. Like, dark beasts like Clevetus. They're, like, great dark beasts. That are also plotting, and he's not the only one that can turn into a human. So I'm like, oh, there's other dark beasts out there. Just chilling. Vibing out there sometimes. It does make our hero very worried. Like, she goes like, hey, yo, wait a minute, hold up. How many dark beasts are just, like, out there? And he's like, it's not a normal thing. It's really just saved for, like, great dark beasts like me and, like, servants directly. Like, we're not out here like that. It's a fair point. She gets kind of nervous. She's like, how many of you are out there just casually just chilling? Because that's crazy. Y'all just got spies everywhere. And it's like, nah. Don't worry about it. This is a very new thing for a lot of us. I'm just letting you know this right now. We don't really care for you guys. So us taking interest in you is kind of like a new thing, actually. I was like, that's fair. That's funny as fuck. But I like the interactions that he has with them. That and I was watching this one called Talk.op. And, basically, it's about, like, these... It is a gorgeous anime. That's what I will say off rip. About, like, music and fighting a world that is musicless, and they are using music to fight against these beasts that exist by using these... They're not automatons. They're, like... They're humans, but they're not humans. Like, they're called music hearts, right? And the way music hearts work are they're kind of... Based on what I could tell,
right,
they're
like this one. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like a little. They're like not humans. Think of it like, I don't want to say androids because they're like, you can think of like 2B. Think of like 2B and like A2 and all of them from like Nier, where they are not. They are robots. They are androids, but like, they're like so human-like and they have so many like. Human-like qualities that it almost doesn't matter that they're not, like, they might as well be humans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just super humans, but the deal is that the story goes out of its way to be like, they're not humans, but, like, they're different, right? They're really close. But the deal is that they usually pair up with, like, like a maestro, and in doing so, they get, like, a cool little outfit and get way stronger with how they work. And they use that to fight off these beasts that basically attack anything that sounds nice. If it's music, they'll fight it. And if you're around it, they'll fight you because you made it. Like, as far as it's concerned, like, sound exists. But if it's music, if it has any form of creativity to it, if it touches the soul in any way... They basically seek to destroy it. Like, so it's like, well...
I guess we gotta deal with that.
I guess we gotta scrap. But it's really interesting. I watched like a couple of episodes. I'm not super deep into it, but I'm very interested. It's really cool. It's like one of those things where I'm like, I've never heard of a concept like this. This is sick.
I remember it being a fairly popular anime when it was coming out. I didn't watch it's it not myself.
I don't think it's even done, actually. I don't think it's finished. I think
no,
it's
it is. It's done.
It's done? It's officially done?
When
did it finish up? Does it say?
It does not say on Crunchyroll, no.
Okay. But yeah, I was checking that out, though. It's really cool.
This was aired in 2021.
Word? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like not everybody watched it. So, because I didn't hear about it until recently. So I was like, let me go see what this is about.
If you're like me and have certain YouTubers, Chibi Reviews, he normally shows things like that. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
I have some stuff that's like that, but I think I think I was watching Mother's Basement, and Mother's Basement was like, yo, this one's kind of cool. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of interested.
Yeah,
but I think he did that relatively, like, he did that one relatively recently. So it was just, like, something that he brought up. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll check it out. I'm glad I checked it out. It was really cool. I also saw, like, a clip, too. And I was like, what the hell is this? But besides that, I think that's about it for me, as far as I know. Gamescom is happening right now, so they have a shit ton of gameplay stuff that got announced. Silksong has a release date, September. Let's go. I can't remember. September 4th, I think, is the exact release date. Mm-hmm. My goodness. It's about damn time. That's kind of how I feel about it. I'm like, thank goodness. But besides that, I mean, I don't think there's been anything major announced, if I'm not mistaken. Just a bunch of stuff that we already knew about getting gameplay stuff. Basically.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a little quick look-see. We did already look through it, so I don't know.
If I remember correctly,
they announced anything else in this time?
The biggest thing, at least for me, is the two favorites, Wilds and 14. Greatness right there. We're getting Omega.
How's that?
We're getting Omega in Wilds, and we're getting Arkvale in 14. So it's going to be a fun time. By the way, what the fuck's the mechanics called? Starbird and Lombard, I think it was called.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Hold on, let me find the fucking image. Here it is.
Oh, we got our first look at the Devil May Cry trailer.
Yeah, that was the thing. Also, Sekiro anime.
I fuck with it heavy.
We didn't get a DLC, but we got an anime.
We did get an anime.
That right there.
I did see someone making fun of that. That shit was funny.
This right here. This little thing. Apparently, the devs of 14... said, oh yeah, with this crossover, people are going to have to remember their Starbirds and Lombers. So I was like, oh, okay. So this mechanic right here, you gotta know, possibly.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's an attack that Omega does in the Raid series that he's in. And it's essentially is a giant cleave of one area. You have to make sure you stay out of it or you take a shit ton of damage.
Okay.
It has fucked up a lot of people before.
Well, you know what? I feel you. You know what I get to do?
Dodge.
That I don't get to do in 14. I get to jump, and I get to dodge. So fuck you. I'm not learning that shit. I'm just going to walk to the other side.
I understand, but it's just... But you know. This might be a thing.
In case you need to know.
If these words pop up for some reason... Dodge. I will dodge. I will force life and or
I'll know what to do.
But if for some reason these are undodgeable, well.
You know what to do.
You know what to do.
I got you. It's funny though. That's funny. But that's fair. Okay, I fuck with that. But I think, other than that, that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, there's a bunch of it that's just... You gotta just go check it out, because it's just gameplay stuff. Like, I know we got something for, what is it called? Onimusha.
Uh-huh.
I know we have stuff for Onimusha and stuff like that as well. Gameplay for that and a lot of other things, so... Just go keep an eye out. If there's anything particular you were looking for out there that you're like, hey, I wanted to see maybe how that looked like, or things of that nature, now would be the time. All right, and I think, without further ado, we can bring this one to a close.
All right, that sounds good.
Bet. So, here's the thing we're going to talk about for a second, where you should go and check out our streams. We do that on twitch.tv/paperplayaction. We have a fun time over there where we go, play video games and stuff like that.
Shenanigans.
And shenanigans get afoot. We usually do them on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are the days that we tend to pop up. But, you know, sometimes we have random streams, so keep an eye out. We'll tweet out or, you know, put a thread or blue sky it out there. So, you know, if you follow us on there, that's paper_action, you'll get to know right away if we're doing something like that. I always put those up. So those are always great. You can also contact us at paperplayaction@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
That is paperplayaction@gmail.com. And we can answer time. Questions.
One more time.
Paperplayaction@gmail.com. we can answer questions on here that you might have. Or if you just need it to be private, we can just answer them back, whatever like that. You can just let us know there.
Yeah. I love questions. That,
spread the love. Tell people about the show.
Spread the goodness.
Do things like that.
Yeah.
And I guess I should probably tell you to go check out the Patreon, because it's like $1 if you want to support the show. But
sure.
Definitely just spread the love. That's the number just, one way,
you know,
to
just
do it.
Smack it on there. Grab that dollar and just kind of smack it on there, you know?
Yeah. Just prefer to just recommend the show to other people. Like, it's a better time.
Word of mouth. Fantastic word of mouth.
It's great. We love it. You love it. You get to share it with other people because you love it. And they get
you
to
enjoy
love
these anime rants that we some reason did for about an hour almost, maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, because of course. Because what else would we do on a podcast about geek shit?
Exactly.
Literally geek culture. We should be having hour-long rants about, like, anime and manga, bro. We should have hour-long rants about video games. We should just fight each
other.
We do.
That's what you get with Paper Play Action.
We do that. We do that all the time on Paper Play Action. So come over and check that out.
Yeah.
And without further ado, we will see you all later. So
farewell. Be safe. Goodbye.
Take it easy. Peace.